Do you use cardboard when starting a new garden bed or doing sheet mulching? The permaculture powers that be are increasingly warning against using cardboard as a base when creating new garden beds over lawn grass. And Paul Wheaton is famously against using cardboard. So what do you think? We'll cover that and other things on this episode of Thrive in the Future. Welcome to Thrive in the Future podcast, positive solutions to help you thrive. Homesteading, gardening, community, side hustles, and building skills. At Grow Nut Trees, I still have elderberry cuttings. Hurry before they get out of dormancy. I also have comfrey cuttings and crowns, and now I have pecan seedlings and some red mulberry seedlings. That's at grownuttrees.com. Did you know that nasturtiums are a trap plant for aphids? And basil can improve the growth and flavor of peppers and tomatoes if planted close as a companion plant. Check out those and other tips on my new site, All Garden Advice. That's where you have gardening ideas and tips to help you out. That's allgardenadvice.com. Welcome back to Thrive in the Future. This week, talking about creating a new garden bed with milpa. So you've heard grow foods, not lawns. See, I hate mowing the grass. I especially hate mowing the grass along the quarter mile driveway in my homestead. I haven't mowed it in years, but now I see it as a missed opportunity to plant more garden beds and food forest beds instead of the prairie grass that's growing along the driveway. So grow food, not lawns, right? So how do you create a new garden bed? Depends on what time of year it is. Most people sheet mulch by covering an area with cardboard and then layers of compost and wood chips. This works well, but only if you do it in the fall and you get lots of rain in the winter to break down that cardboard. Otherwise, you're digging through cardboard. This year, we had lots of snow in January, and the bed that I created last fall broke down pretty well, although while digging a hole for a tree in that bed to plant a hazelnut bush last week, I dug up a piece of cardboard that wasn't completely broken down. So, to use cardboard or not to use cardboard. The permaculture powers that be are increasingly warning against using cardboard as the base when creating new garden beds over lawn grass. And Paul Wheaton is famously against using cardboard. Some scientists warn against using cardboard as well. There's an article out there that says cardboard does not belong on your soil, period. Cardboard reportedly has dioxins and PFAs and forever chemicals. The article also says that cardboard inhibits soil life. And only plastic sheet mulching is supposedly worse. So the article recommends adding a very, very thick layer of wood chips on the grass and then compost and more wood chips. And in my experience, that only works if you have lots of time for the first layer of wood chips to break down. That's pretty much the Eden method. My friend Jason at George Washington Carver Farm in Kansas City has built his soil with large amounts of wood chips, and it's worked for him, but he's done it over a long time. The biggest issue that I have with using cardboard is that no matter how hard I try to remove all the tape, I end up digging up plastic tape pieces for years afterward. But I do use cardboard and wood chips for paths. But my main thing for creating new garden beds is to use milpa. So in spring, I don't have time to wait for the cardboard to break down. I would lose the entire planting season as I'm waiting for it to break down. My soil is heavy compacted clay with very little worm activity in some places, so I would have to add a large amount of wood chips and compost to get something to plant in. And the grass always manages to poke through and take over anyway. So I take my trusty Meadow Creature broad fork and I turn over the sod. I add a layer of compost and then I sow with milpa seed mix and I cover with a light layer of wood chips. So what's milpa? It's a mix of seeds, usually with the three sisters, corn, squash, and beans, as the core plants. The beans add nitrogen, the corn provides some structure, and then the squash to grow up the corn or out. So milpa also has other seeds with a focus to grow as much food as possible on a small garden plot. It sometimes can have buckwheat, okra, cucumbers, greens, radishes, or anything else that you want. And then the idea is also by adding these things, cucumbers and things like that, you're going to spread out your harvest throughout the seasons. So you may have greens early on, you may have cucumbers in the short term to midterm, and then you're going to have squash later in the season. And that allows you to get the most out of a non-productive garden bed that you're just creating over pretty much regular soil. So you can buy a mix of seeds or you can create your own mix. I've talked before about Green Cover seed at greencover.com. usually has a milpa seed mix, and it has 40 seeds in it. I mean, it has everything from assorted squash to cucumbers, watermelons, pumpkins, gourds. It has the corn. It has clover. It has red ripper cowpeas, which is what I use. And then it has buckwheat in there as well. So in the past, I bought seeds from Green Cover Seed, but they've sold out fast or been unavailable in the last 2 years. So it was sold out for most of the season, so I created my own mix. So I go and I get grazing corn, either from Green Cover Seed or from someone else, like strawberry popcorn from Baker Creek. I want to make sure that the corn is fairly short, and it should be lightly mixed in so it doesn't shadow out everything else. So the core of milpa is corn, with squash growing up the stalk, and beans feeding nitrogen into the soil for the corn. And then I also use Red Ripper cowpeas, and you can get those in various places. I get them from Green Cover Seed, and I've used and saved seed from previous years, and I have tons of seed left over. So Red Ripper cowpeas. Cowpeas are basically like black-eyed peas. The Red Ripper kind really work well in clay soil. I also add squash, melons, or pumpkins that are left over from previous years, or I go over to a seed swap and I trade for them. And those are usually extras. Some of them may not even germinate, but I mix them all in there. I add in mancan buckwheat, and some people add in daikon radish or some other radish that you like. Daikon is the radish that really burrows into the soil, and you could cut off the top of the green and just leave it there, and it'll rot in the soil and help your soil health. Daikon is a acquired taste. It's really strong, and some people don't like it. You can prepare it and take daikon, cut it up into slices, and then toss it in olive oil, and then cook it, and it sort of tastes like a spicy potato. That's one of the ways that I use it. Otherwise, I don't like daikon all that much. You can add cucumbers, and they'll produce an early or mid-season crop, and they vine along the ground. But I don't like cucumbers, so I don't add those. And then you usually want to add some pollinators, some calendula, some echinacea or coneflower, some hairy vetch, or some clover. But you have to be careful, so if you're going to use this in the future for annual beds, you don't want to use too many perennials in there, or they'll just come back. Now, that's okay for some pollinators, but you don't want to have the whole thing taken over with perennial pollinators. You don't want to have to really change up things in the next season. So you're going to have a dominant crop based on when you plant. If you plant early in the spring, the beans and the buckwheat will be dominant. They'll take over. The squash will be shaded out. And if later in the season, say you plant this milpa bed in late May, then the squash will become dominant. And I have pictures on the show notes so that you can see what those look like. And by using this technique, you can create a new garden bed with minimal effort, avoid using cardboard, and get an abundant crop in the first year. Even with poor clay soil, you don't have to add too much compost to get a crop. At the end of the season, you chop and drop the chaff from the buckwheat and the beans to mulch over for the wintertime. And another thing that I really like this for is I have terrible problems with squash bugs, but if squash is growing in between a bunch of other things, then it deters the squash bugs. If you have nasturtiums or some other things in there as well, and calendula, it will deter the squash bugs as well. So try this technique. Go to the show notes on thriveinthefuture.com. Check out the pictures. Check out the mixes that I have on there that I recommend. And try out milpa in a bed this year. Hey, if you like this episode, leave us a tip on Venmo or Cash App at Thrive in the Future. Or join the Patreon, patreon.com/thriveinthefuture. You get early episodes and you get extras. Thank you. Check out Thriving News. That's where Perpin and I share longer form articles about homesteading, mindset, milpa gardening, food forest, etc. Go check it out at thrivingnews.com. Thank you for listening to Thrive in the Future podcast. If you like what you hear, please click that like or subscribe button in your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at Thrive in the Fute, and also go to thriveinthefuture.com.